I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. Today it is from Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 20. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is where the ancestors did what the ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you, listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Now I have to stand still. This will be a test, won't it? You know, for those of you who haven't figured it out yet, I happen to be a history nerd. But I also have to confess I'm a history nerd with a somewhat skeptical attitude, especially when the historical offering is from eyewitness reports. You know, there is a reason why, in a court of law, both the defense and the prosecutor call multiple witnesses who supposedly saw the same event. If you've ever been in that courtroom, sometimes you wonder if they were even in the same city, much less at the same event, because their accounts of what happened can be so different. And it's not that they're lying, it's just that their perspective is different. You know, maybe they were standing in a different place or they heard a different word. And so what they say comes out, well, totally different. And this isn't a 21st century phenomenon. Believe it or not, in the 1700s, John Wesley was one of the most recognizable figures in all of England. Wesley was the founder of the Methodist movement. He was quite popular, but when you read the accounts of him, it's amazing that anybody knew who he was. I read one eyewitness person who was talking about his long, flowing blonde locks, whereas another one reported him as being rather short in stature with raving black hair. And it's not that he would have had a wig. This, we're talking John Wesley here. He would never have wasted money on something that vain because he would have given it to the poor. To complicate matters, we have two official portraits that have survived. And except for the hair and the nose, they hardly look anything alike. So despite his popularity and everything that was written about him, you know, all we really know about the man is that he was short, he had long hair, and a beak-like nose, long, big, and pointed. And even in the Bible, God's holy and inspired word, we have major differences in perspectives, sometimes concerning the exact same event. For example, Have you ever compared today's gospel lesson, what I just read, with what's recorded in Matthew 5? It's the same event. And there are some similarities between the two. There are major differences. Yet most of us, we look at the two and we skip right over it. You know, it's the same thing. It basically means the same thing. So what's the big deal, right? The problem is that it does matter. Those differences do matter. Luke just isn't giving us an abridged edition of the Beatitudes. He is actually trying to show us an entirely different side of Jesus on that day that he delivered those words. And to understand the importance of the differences, we need to place the stories in their proper context. Remember my rule? Always read what comes before and after. The other thing we have to remember is that in the scriptures, geography is paramount. When it says Jesus went to the other side, you better figure out where the other side was if you really want to know what's going on. In today's gospel, Matthew tells us Jesus spoke the Beatitudes, what we know as the Beatitudes, while sitting on a mountain in the presence of his disciples. Matthew's version is given during his Sermon on the Mount. But Luke says he was standing on the plain, surrounded by a crowd, and he looked up and he saw the disciples and started speaking. So why is any of that important? How is that going to help us understand? Well, in Matthew, Jesus separates himself from the crowd. He goes on top of a mountain, and mountains are extremely important. What happens on mountains? Moses received the Ten Commandments. Jesus was transfigured. That's just a name too. Whatever happens on a mountain is extremely important. Matthew says he was on the mountain. And by sitting down, Jesus assumed the position of a teacher. He would have looked out at the disciples, not up at them or down on them. And then we're told that he began to speak, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." What Jesus is doing on the Sermon on the Mount, when he gives us those words, is he is helping us grow in our relationship with God and neighbor. He's giving us the framework that will create our spiritual lives. So it's important that we heed his words, that we do what Jesus says. But Luke records basically the same teachings, but in a very different, very important way. In place of putting Jesus on a mountain, he puts Jesus on the level ground. And in place of being alone with his disciples, Luke says that he is surrounded by a crowd. And it also appears that in place of sitting like a teacher, he must have been kneeling in the midst of that crowd, because the script Luke tells us that he looked up at his disciples and he began speaking. And like last week, with Zacchaeus. Jesus isn't talking about the future like Matthew was. He speaks about the present, here and now. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. Matthew stops with the blessings. Luke doesn't. After listening to his four, not nine, blessings, he issues an equal number of woes. Woe to you who are rich. You have your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. As Dr. Thomas Edward Frank wrote, I quote, "There are no pure in heart in the Sermon on the Plain. This is a gospel for hard living in the down and dirty mess of kids without food, a dead husband and a broken leg that will not let me walk to till my field or to carry the water back from the well. Jesus is looking up at me as if to say, what are you doing right this minute? People are sick and they're dying right here, tormented by spirits. They've come from all over the land, from the coast to the river, from south to north, as far as you can go in a few days' journey. Will you get down here? Get down here with me and help." It's much different than sitting on a mountain speaking to your disciples. What Jesus is saying is, do it now. Get down here with me. Now, the truth is, we need the Jesus that Matthew remembered. The one who teaches us and challenges us to grow and mature in our spiritual lives. But we also need to hear him as he stands in our midst, reaching out to those who are suffering here and now. We need the one who shows us what a blessing it is when we're able to reach out and bless others. We need the one who's able to use our past experiences to help those who are now going through the same traumas, disappointments, and fears. Jesus wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. Jesus wasn't afraid to bend over and touch those who no one else would touch. And in his sermon on the plain, as he kneels among those who are sick, who are demon-possessed, who have multiple problems, he looks up at the disciples and says, please, please join me now. I have no idea what it is like to fight an addiction or like alcoholism or drug abuse. But I do know what it is to be an abused spouse, a single parent. I know what it is to experience the death of someone I love because someone else chose to be careless and uncaring. But I also know that in the midst of those experiences, the Holy Spirit surrounded me with those who cared, encouraged, prayed, and shared with me whatever resources they had. And when the crisis was over, when my life was finally back on track, I had to choose what to make of it all. I could become bitter and angry because, after all, I had been treated unfairly. I could have developed an overinflated ego that allowed me to look down on those who were still struggling. You know, what's the matter with them? Why don't they just try a little harder? I did. Look at me. Or I could follow the example of those who had reached out to me. I could take my place on the plane and reach out my hand in the name of Christ. I could love those who are hurting. I could care for those who struck out at me because they were angry. I could hear the cries that hide beneath the tough guy exterior. That's what's called for when you get down on the plane. When you kneel beside Christ and you reach out to others. But quoting Dr. Frank once again, the Jesus looking up at us seems to already know that we who have enough prefer to avoid the poor. They remind us of how close we are to the edge of want. Jesus on knees with a paralyzed man seems to already know that our own fears of illness and death keep us at an arm's length from the sick. Jesus, inviting us to join him, seems already to know that we, our lives, our faith, our being with God, will be transformed in the dust of that plane. Christians, we need both Matthew and Luke. We need to spend intentional time developing our spiritual lives. But then we need to get up off our seats, get out of our comfort zone, and go kneel with Jesus on the plane. Matthew and Luke, they had different perspectives, but the truth they gave us, our lives will be so much richer when we listen to both. May we be transformed in the dust of the plain. To God be the glory, and all God's children say, Amen.